This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Bulldogs, like, one time I bring up, with nothing else going on, nothing else to say, one time I bring up your baseball book, and now I got to sit here during the break listening to you ask me questions about whether I should retain Tanner Bibee for $8 in my auction draft. I'm sorry. You give me an inch.
I recognized, well, hang on, you said that's a fourth name now. You've said four names.
Yes.
And I definitely recognized one of them and think I know one other one, but I'm not positive.
Yeah. Chris Sale, you knew who that was.
Yeah, I knew who that was.
Yeah.
I'm definitely
keeping him.
Yeah.
Scooble won the AL Cy Young.
Okay, sure. That's a name. Yeah. But
I had them both.
Yamamoto's not a name I haven't heard. I just wasn't sure he was a pitcher as well.
Yes, Dodgers.
But given that you were talking about all pitchers, I assumed he was, but I couldn't tell you for sure.
Yeah. Well, you're honest about it. Here.
Oh yeah, you talk to Sal. I'm gonna read some witty takedowns of some players who are underwhelming.
Listen, I'm watching spring training. Sal Capaccio. I mean, Sal's in Indianapolis. If he's not on a cruise, I don't know how much baseball you've been able to watch. Does it feel like it's close?
A little bit. They have a minor league park right on the corner here from where I am at the hotel downtown Indy, but. I mean, the weather's changing a little bit, and I have been at least kind of keeping tabs a little bit on spring training and some scores with the Yankees. And I also, the Yankees news last week, guys, right? They're
Beards.
Basically, the beards are back, right? They're letting go of the rule and relinquishing that rule. Well-groomed beards and facial hair. Although I will remind people, Black Jack McDowell did have a bit of a goatee when he was traded in 1995 to the Yankees, and they allowed that to happen. Guys have had facial hair before for the Yankees. And then the other one is, I don't know if you saw this, the Yankees will no longer play New York following losses at Yankee Stadium, which is always
that.
A tradition, along with wins, which they play a lot louder, but they did play losses underneath. From now on, it will be apparently still a Frank Sinatra song, but something different.
I think at least used to be true. When they won, they'd play Sinatra. When they lost, they played Liza. Same song. Maybe that changed a long time ago, but after losses, they played Liza Minnelli. New York.
Yeah, when I saw this news, I thought they only played it after wins. I guess I never, I mean, they must always win when I watch. I had never noticed it being played after a loss, I guess.
All right.
Yeah, they've always played it, from my recollection, always after a loss, but very low, very light. You know, it's just a song, but that's changing as well. So, yeah, a lot of changes coming in baseball,
a lot of news
in football,
there.
I guess.
Yeah.
The beard rule is the Devin Williams rule. They traded for a closer from Milwaukee who's always had a beard. I'm like, all right, that's enough. We'll let him keep it.
Yeah.
All right, Sal, how's Indianapolis? What are the highlights of your day so far?
Just a lot of talking with other media today, last night as well. Lots of good stuff gathered today and yesterday. Not a lot of, you know, Bills-specific content today, because that happened earlier this week with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. Today, the, you know, prospects started talking. It was a long day for that, because the prospects were doing a lot of their medical checks. And literally, guys, I'm not kidding you. Some prospects were scheduled to speak at a podium at 10:15, and they still hadn't gone by like 12:30, right? So it's just a lot of waiting around, and, you know, what do you do in the meantime? Well, and for me, I don't necessarily get in on and listen to every prospect I can. You know, sometimes you're walking by, you say, oh, that's that guy, I'll go see what he has to say. They all say a lot of the same things and who they emulate, but they get asked the same questions. And
right.
It's so funny, because I'm kind of conflicted, because it's always a lot of time spending, did you meet with this team?
Right.
Did you meet with that team?
Right.
From all the beat reporters. And honestly, it wastes a lot of time, but it is also important. So I want to know if a guy met with the Bills. So shout out to Alex Brasky, the Batavia Daily. He actually asked Kenneth Grant, did you meet with the Bills? And he said yes. So I got that. I specifically wanted that one because I know he's been a guy that a lot of people have been focusing on. He's not going to be there 30, guys. He's 332 pounds, down from 340-something, and his goal is to run like 4.8, 4.9, and he might do it at that size, and he's going to bench 300 pounds. He's going to go top 15, maybe even top 10 when this is all said.
Wow. You think some team is going to be looking to emulate the Eagles, and he's a custom fit, right?
Yeah, I just think he's going to be maybe I'm being a little too ambitious for him. I just think he's going to test off the charts, and then that's going to be matched up with a good tape, you know, and what you just said. Exactly, Chris, and how teams are constructing, you know, their teams. And so that's why I wanted to get into him. But I just don't think he'll be there for the Bills. But there are plenty of other guys. And I haven't dug too much into a lot of these guys. But, you know, for me, I talk to a lot of the media members from other places and what they're looking for, what their offseason is. And let's remember, free agency starts March 12th at 4 p.m. And then it's the draft, you know, 6 weeks later, essentially. So we got a lot of time before the draft. We have mostly free agency. And I think the big things this week, the Stafford storyline is huge. I think the Steelers are a really interesting team. I've talked to a lot of people about them. The Giants are a really interesting team. But it's really the teams, again, with the quarterbacks. And it's not the Titans. The Titans have the number one pick. What are the Titans going to do? I don't know. Abdul Carter. Travis Hunter. But it's really it's not the top of the draft that's the story, I think, right now. It's more the teams in free agency that need quarterbacks.
A Stafford move has a lot of legs already in a pretty short amount of time. That trade doesn't have to wait another day. Like, that could happen as soon as maybe the trade, like, legally would have to wait, like LeSean McCoy when he's traded one of those. But, like, I bet that's coming, like, any day, Stafford. I don't know if it's the Giants or the Raiders. I think it's probably one of the two, though, Sal.
Yeah, it feels like it. So, very interesting. The Raiders stuff is out now, obviously percolating, and you've seen the reports. And oh yeah, I mean, by the way, you guys, this us talking totally unplanned. We just stumbled upon it, right? It just happened.
Yeah. I picked up the phone, and you were there.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I hit a couple buttons, and suddenly I'm on WGR in Buffalo. Who knew? Right.
Very random.
So. Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, we all know that what's going on there. And we'll see. You know, if the Raiders are that serious about Matt Stafford, they, you know, maybe might be able to get him and trade for him. We'll see about that. I will tell you what was pointed out to me about the Giants yesterday, Joe Shane. Joe Shane is under a lot of pressure. We all know that. Now, he's not going to come out and say, I have to win or I'm going to lose my job. But I think we all know that's the case, right? That they have to win. They can't – I don't think they can draft a quarterback. If they do – he's drafting him for someone else. I mean, unless that guy hits right away, but this doesn't seem like the kind of draft where that's going to happen. And they have way too much around their roster to be able to do that. How are they going to do that with a rookie quarterback? So, you know, Chad Hall, the former Bills wide receivers coach, is now in New York under Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, who he worked with in Buffalo. He is Matthew Stafford's brother-in-law. Chad Hall is married to Matthew Stafford's sister. So a lot of people are connecting those dots. And there's a lot of stuff here about the Giants really targeting and wanting Stafford, but not knowing if they can get him. If they can't go in that direction, what do they do? Because they might be left with, we have to draft a rookie. And that's not good news for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, as much as they may have to go that route. And then you have the Steelers, who, from all indications I'm getting, they are not in on Matthew Stafford. It's from several people I talked to today basically said they think it's they think it's Justin Fields that they want. But Justin Fields has a say and may go, hey, I'm getting a better offer from the Jets or the Giants or whoever. And then the Steelers may have to kind of, the way it was phrased, go crawling back to Russell Wilson. And they don't want to do that.
I was just going to say, Hall is married to Kelly Stafford. Or I'm sorry, that's not true either. Matthew Stafford is married to Kelly Stafford. Hall's sister is Kelly Stafford. So that's that brother-in-law connection.
That's the other way. Did I say it the other way? I apologize. Yeah, yes. My apologies.
His sister.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. Sorry about that.
The thing about the Steelers, Sal, I pointed this out one day last week when they came up. You know, cause of course, any team that's looking for a quarterback, you know, we're always going to be, you know, at some point talking about on this show. And last year during, you know, I don't know if it was exactly a year ago, but like around this time, the reports coming out of Pittsburgh were there's a split inside the building, whether it's Rudolph or Pickett. Whether to keep going with which one of them to keep going with. And then they blew that up, traded for Wilson, and then got Fields in free agency, or was that vice versa? They traded for – either way, they had two new quarterbacks, neither of whom had been discussed as, well, the ownership prefers this guy. So I wonder if they just don't have the art of the smokescreen thing mastered at this point. Because
right.
I don't think anybody saw Wilson and Fields ending up there when they were talking about and debating about whether Pickett or Rudolph was a better idea for next year.
No, that's right. I agree. And – I think a lot of this is, too, like, there's no way the Steelers are paying Matt Stafford what he's going to want. They'd really have to, like, they could get in on him if they could really convince him to sign a contract for a lot less than maybe what he wants, what he's asking. But I think that seems to be the barrier. And, you know, I think Tomlin likes Justin Fields, and they would like him. But I think the hang-up there is, does Justin Fields want to be in Pittsburgh? And honestly, guys, like, even the people I talked to are like, even if you get Justin Fields, like, how, like,
how good
really
an idea
good
is
for
that?
You?
Yeah.
I know, right? Like, I mean, what do you do with that? I mean, he can be good. I don't know. He's not really – it hasn't really worked totally where he's been.
I can't imagine a team that's in the playoffs, barely, but still in the playoffs every year, would settle on that being their best idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'll believe that when I see it. That's why I'm making this point about not to believe necessarily that they're not in on any of these other ideas, because – I just can't imagine them going forward and saying, oh, yeah, no. He couldn't play in front of Russell Wilson last year, for God's sake. That blows my mind.
Yeah, and that's why I think the Steelers are one of the more interesting teams this week because, you know, someone told me today, like, hey, do they don't have much time left here with Watt and Hayward and Minka all together, right? And if they really want to win, like, this might be the only year they can maybe do that now left. Like, look at their careers, where they are, their ages. And that might mean you want to go get a guy like Stafford. And then the second thought is they're going to be probably drafting a quarterback next year, like in the first round. So, you know, what do you do? So I think that's, and if that's the case, like, I mean, even if you have Justin Fields, I mean, what are you doing there? You're almost middling it the entire way. So they're a really interesting team, here at the Combine this week. And then the other thing for you guys real quick was, this kickoff thing is interesting to me. Last night I found out that the 32 special teams coordinators all were in a meeting together.
Uh-oh.
Like they went into like they were asked, you know, to basically like not wasn't unplanned, I guess. It was planned, but they had the big meeting with the 32 special teams coordinators, and it was they didn't all just show up in one place. And it was presented to them like, here, this is what we're thinking, this is what's on the table, this is what do you guys think? It's more of a, we want your feedback before we really kind of move forward with a lot of this stuff with the competition committee. And from what I understand, I mean, you guys can imagine this. There's some, you know, special teams coordinators can be a little different sometimes, right? And there's a lot of different personalities in that room, and there's a lot of different opinions in that room. And you got your kind of younger guys who are, hey, you know, don't want to rock the boat too much. I got this job. Like, tell me what you got me to. Yeah, I got my opinion, but just tell me what I need to do. I'll coach my guys. Then you have some older guys who are that way, but also, no, this is what I don't want or what I do want. And, you know, really kind of, you know, pretty aggressively letting their opinions be known. So from what I understand, it was a pretty interesting meeting. Didn't have to be bad necessarily, but interesting. And I'll tell you this, from what came out of it, from my understanding is this whole touch back to the 35-yard line has legs, and this is going to be something that's not going away anytime soon.
Which puts the onus on those coaches and teams mm-hmm. to sort of refine, step up their game when it comes to returns and kick coverage, because logically there'll be more runbacks that way. By the way, I also want to slip in on Chad Hall, because I was talking about this on ADP Chasing on Monday. Not only is he with the Giants, he's not even their wide receivers coach. He's listed as assistant quarterbacks.
So there you go. Assistant quarterback.
He's the assistant quarterback coach of the Giants.
Okay, so if you get Stafford, like the assistant quarterback's coach is the brother-in-law of the quarterback, right? It's a little bit weird, I think, in some way, right?
I think you make the right point, though, in like the Giants have urgency. Always starts there. What are the coach, the GM, you know, how much urgency do they have? They have a ton. As far as the Bills go, Sal, I'm not sure if this is the number one thing today, but that survey. Surveyed, NFLPA, results came out. There were some embarrassments. The Jets owner got the worst grade by far of the owners. The Patriots plane has ashtrays. The Bengals don't feed their players. As far as the Bills go, they're also their travel got the low, the F minus here. I mean, a lot of A's and B's, overall kind of middling. But I don't know, was that surprising to you that the players were, again, it's relative, but disappointed in travel accommodations when it came to the Bills?
And I don't know what that means necessarily. I know I heard Bulldog talking about, you know, the plane earlier. I can't compare it to anything because I've never been on other teams' charters, right? So I don't really know.
Right.
But I will tell you, there's a lot that goes into travel. It is going to the airport. It is the plane. It is the hotel accommodations. It is the travel back. It's a lot of stuff. I don't know why people voted the way they did. I will tell you that, you know, obviously, you know, I travel, you know, with the team, and to me, it's, you know, it's amazing to me because that's I'm not an NFL player, and I'm Sal Capaccio, the sideline reporter, and I get to do that. So I would never rate it like that because I don't know how to compare it other than it's absolutely
it's better
amazing.
Than standing in the baggage claim lane, you know, waiting, you know, flying commercial,
yes.
Right? For you, it's just
right.
Way
and how about this?
Right.
On the way down to our cruise, we were delayed in Atlanta, and it got so bad that the pilot timed out, and we had to sleep on the floor in the Atlanta airport, right? Like, I'm not doing that when I'm traveling with the Bills. So,
right.
You know, I don't have anything to compare it to, guys. And maybe players have been in other places, and for whatever reason, they do that. As far as the head coach is concerned, mm-hmm. What grade did he get? B plus? What was it?
It says B, but 27th out of 32.
Okay, but to me, that's like the B part is more important because 27 out of 32 sounds like, oh my God, that's pretty bad. But a B isn't bad, right? A B is a B.
Right,
and
right.
It just seems like to me what happened here was a lot of teams really rated their head coach highly. So you get a B and that's a pretty low grade, which is kind of weird.
I wonder what that is. Like, that doesn't really make intuitive sense to me that players would all give their head right. coach such a high grade. Maybe they thought the coach could find out what they wrote.
Maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 A pluses for their head coach.
Quinn, do you have the list? I don't have
yes,
the list.
Yes, I do. Quinn, Raheem Morris, KOC, Kevin O'Connell.
Right.
Andy Reid.
Right.
Mike McDonald and Dan Quinn.
The Dolphins.
Mike McDaniel, sorry. Mike McDaniel, sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
There is a Mike McDonald. But yes, Mike McDaniel.
That's right. I know. Mike McDaniel is what I meant. Yeah.
The Dolphins got the highest overall grades of any team. You know, Miami. Vegas, Miami, Minnesota. You got to give it to Minnesota.
Yeah, they're getting it done.
They always get the high grades in these things, Matt Collar says, and here again today. All right.
The Dolphins didn't have any grade below an A. Not one.
Yet.
What's it got them?
No playoff wins since the year 2000.
Right. Right. I mean, what? Okay, well, let's examine that for a second. I find this interesting because here you have an organization that is the longest playoff win drought in the NFL, yet they get all these really high marks for all these things.
You want to know what
well,
I think it means?
In one sense, I think it means that they make them too comfortable.
Exactly. It's too. They love it there. They're so cozy. They're so comfortable.
Yes.
And there's not a lot of demands made on them.
Wait, so we
100%
want, it's okay to just sort of float through?
We want Fs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then you're saying we
yes.
want Fs?
Yes. I want them to hate their coach.
Hate everything.
They hate their whole organization.
The Patriots did win a lot there for a while. Okay, so tomorrow we have, I know you're on your way home at some point tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the workouts start, right?
I believe that is the case. More guys. I was watching more guys run the 40-yard dash on the carpet today. It's at the convention center. So they're all getting ready to start working out tomorrow. And we'll hear from more prospects tomorrow, so you'll start getting more of that stuff coming out as well. So, yeah, it's a full weekend, right? You go through, I think it goes through Sunday, actually, all the workouts. And, you know, that stuff is televised. People can watch it. They can see all the information there. And, you know, the medical stuff. And I just see, like, the team. Like, at one point, I was walking through the convention center today, and I just see all of a sudden a bunch of Seahawks people. Like, they got their shirts on and their hoodies. And then I see Bengals people. And then here comes Brandon Bean and Terrence Gray. Like, I don't know. There's just meetings upon meetings and everything going on here, and you never know what these people are going to meet for, but it was just seemed like a totally huge, like, all-league type of meeting was going on in some place on the convention center when I walked past these people.
Not only has the Combine elbowed its way into the sports scene to the extent that, like, we actually care about this as a society, but the 3 days before, even count. Like the compound really doesn't start until tomorrow. Nobody runs a race until tomorrow. But since Monday, Sal's been there, coaches talking, all the news. It's not enough for the NFL to get mileage out of the combine. It's got to be the whole week.
The whole week, right. It's combine week.
Can you buy a ticket to the combine? Can a fan go?
Yes, there's a combine experience for the fans. There's a now the combine experience does not allow you to get into the media room, the access, and the things that we do as the reporters and the media and all that. In fact, I will tell you this, guys. When you go into the convention center, there is an area where there's the main doors, and you can. There's a few main doors, but the one main door is where most people go in, and they go right to the media area. And then there's this hallway, and there is a section that there are people, there are fans with all stuff they want to get autographed, and they're sitting there with helmets and pictures. And when people are walking by, they're shouting, "Andy Reid, Coach Reid," and they're trying to get. It's they want executives, and they want the autographs. And there is a spot there where people are standing, as you can imagine. That's part of it. But they do have the experience, and that's changed over the last few years. They did that, and I believe that's something that fans are allowed to go into. It's select fans. You can go into the Lucas Oil Stadium and watch, but you can also go through some of the experience of yourself and how they run the 40 or whatever. I'm sure they do things like that for the fans. So, yeah, it's become that. And I also tell you guys, it really is a great spot for it. I hope the NFL never moves it. It really is a great city, for something like this, and they do it really well.
Yeah. So some fans get to watch the workouts.
Yes.
That's a part of it. Okay. Yes. You, by the way, should dig in a little bit, get a stopwatch, or just use your phone while these guys are running these 40s and post unofficial 40 times. So you need to get out in front of it.
Instant ban.
Yes.
Way to never be invited back.
Okay, well, create a phantom Twitter account and then do it that way, and we'll just retweet it for you.
We'll call it Convention Center Carpet 40, right? Something
there
like that.
There you go. Right. Exactly.
I'm not touching it, but you go ahead. All right. Sal, thank you, and have a nice night and safe trip home.
Thanks, guys.
That's our Sal Capaccio in Indianapolis. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Got a report here from Mike Garofalo, how the league reviewed the number of fouls drawn by quarterbacks last season. And who was number one? The most fouled passer per 100 hits. It was not Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen was second. It was not Patrick Mahomes. 803-0550, stay tuned, find out.
I think I saw this answer, so I'm not sure. I should be just DQ'd from guessing.
You definitely shouldn't say it if you saw it, at least not until we come back.
I think I saw it.
That's what I'm going for.
All right, good, I'll wait.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, lines open. This is WGR.